You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of Willamette Christian Church in Westland, Oregon. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at willamette.cc or shoot us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
We are one church in multiple locations. I'm the lead pastor over at our Hope City campus, and we are having a blast over there. We're about ready to move into our permanent facility for the first time ever. So that's kind of great. Yeah. Yeah, we've been sleeping in sleeping bags for 8 years. It's crazy. It's going to be good to have a home. But I'm excited to be here. I love being here at Willamette. I love the series that we're in as we're talking about this idea of what does it mean to have a close encounter with God. And when we look at this series, we've been looking at all these people, these stories in the Bible, these grandiose stories. And today's going to be another one of them as we look at Elijah. And if you went to Man Camp, I was able to speak at Man Camp as well. I spoke about Elijah, and I'm just fascinated by this story of how God comes to a person who has experienced some high highs and some low lows, and experiencing what does it mean in the midst of all of our seasons to see God in a very special way. And the big idea with this series is that when we look at the scriptures and we see these close encounters, we kind of learn two things about God. One is this theological truth that God is omnipresent. That means that no matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves, God is there. And that should give a lot of us some hope that we can feel far from God, but God's presence is there. But in this series, we're looking at in the midst of this omnipresence, we see these stories and these encounters that are beyond just the everyday, where God seems to show up in a way that transforms people, that it changes the trajectory of their lives. It even impacts the people around them. And the question is, can we experience God like that today? And so as we look at this series, specifically today, Elijah, we're going to be looking at what it means to have a close encounter today. But the problem is, I don't know if you can relate with this. I certainly do. The problem is that we look at these stories and we're like, right, but that's in the Bible, right? Like it's biblical stories. They're grandiose. They're heaven sent. I am not in the Bible. I'm here. I'm like Dane. I identify with close encounters with Slurpees more than I do, right, with God speaking from heaven. And even as a pastor, I can feel intimidated sometimes just going, but I don't feel like all those other people. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm just trying to make it. I'm trying to figure out retirement. I'm trying to figure out how to be a better dad or what it means to be in relationship. But I don't know about all these close encounters. You're in the perfect spot. I feel like that too. When God called me into ministry, I saw these other guys that fit the bill a little bit better than me. And I was like, I'll be a Christian, God. I'll follow you. I'll be a coach or something. I'll be the cool guy at school that still thinks he's cool but isn't because he's getting older. But I'll be a coach or something. But I can't be a pastor because they're like so reverent and so not me. And I remember just thinking, I don't fit the bill. So if you feel like you're more into the Slurpee close encounters, good news, that's what this series is all about. In fact, when I think about not just being a pastor, but being a dad, I don't feel like this perfect heroic person either. Maybe you've seen these videos on YouTube or whatever, especially around Father's Day, where you see these dads doing these amazing things like the kids are sliding down, but they didn't realize there was a brick wall. And all of a sudden, dad comes barrel rolling in, throws his kids up in the air, kicks the sled off the brick, does this little walk up the brick, and then catches them like this, right? Or the kids swing in and he's like, do-do-do-do-do. And then that goes too far and just goes, ka-cha, right? And just catches them. And you're like, wow. And then my kids saw this video and they're like, Dad, you don't do any of those things. I'm like, ah, right? I'll show you what I feel more related to. I showed this at Man Camp. This is a video of a guy who does what every dad wants to do in a heroic moment at a baseball game. That's catch the foul ball. And he doesn't have just one opportunity to catch a foul ball. In the same game, he has two opportunities. And I so relate with this guy. It makes me sad. But let's check this out. Watch this. Okay, here comes foul ball number one. Now watch the food in his hands. The food in his hands, the ball and the food. The ball and the food. He loses both. He loses both. Same game, second foul ball. Same guy, different food. Different food. Look, look. Oh, Oh, so watch both at the same time. Same guy, food everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my life, right? Come on. Come on. This is how we feel, and we see like a series about close encounters. We're in church. It's the middle of summer. We just got back from vacation. We're planning for vacation, whatever it is. And we're like, honestly, I'm sure it's good, but that's just not me. I mean, I saw this guy with these foul balls. I'm like, how many opportunities is this guy going to get, right? Like, that's it, man. And sometimes with our lives, I think we might have thought that our opportunities have also passed us by. Like, I probably had an opportunity when I was a teenager to go to Black Lake or to go on a missions trip, or maybe you did, and you're like, that was my opportunity, but I've kind of grown up now. I'm not sure there are more opportunities for me. Like, we've missed our last chance. But that's the good news about this series. It's the good news that even though these stories are biblical, they're extremely personal. As we see that God doesn't want to just do the grandiose things, but he wants to show up in our everyday lives. And this is a series, especially today, that as we wrap up this series for this summer, as we end the summer, looking at these last few weeks going into August, my prayer is that there would be something inside of you that, yes, you may feel a little detached or a little out of it when it comes to these grandiose stories, but at the same time, there would be a hunger that rises up within you again. That is somebody that's sitting in a church today that you wouldn't get all the way to church, but not all the way to God. That you would say, God, if there's something for me, I'd like to know what it's like to know you in a personal way that changes the trajectory of my life, that I'm able to experience all that you had planned and purposed for me. God, if it's possible, my prayer as a pastor is that it would be your prayer to say, God, I want to know in the summer of 2019 what it would be like to have a close encounter with you. And so as we look at this story today, we're going to look at Elijah, and the scriptures that we'll look at specifically is in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. But let me set a little backstory before we get there. In this story, Elijah is the prophet of God. He's the spokesperson for God, and he has come up against these prophets, these worshipers of this false god, Baal. And all of the followers of God, the one true God, have kind of wandered off, have fled. It was this time of great fear, and people had let go of their faith in God and had ditched Elijah, and Elijah was left. And then there were these hundreds of prophets of Baal, and they came toe-to-toe in this final event, if you will, and they decided whichever God showed up in that moment was the one true God. And so the worshipers of Baal went first, and they did all these sorts of things to try to get this God that didn't exist to show up. And they did all these chants and incantations and even hurt themselves trying to get the attention of God. And meanwhile, Elijah is just sitting back waiting for his turn. And if you were to read the scriptures, you'd see that Elijah's a very confident prophet. He's sitting back, he's taunting them. He's like, maybe your God is asleep, or maybe he's using the restroom. I don't think restroom's in the Bible, but he kind of refers to that kind of thing. And he's just so confident, and nothing's happening. And so at the end of the day, no fire has fallen from heaven, and the Baal worshipers give up. And now it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah picks up this story in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. And it says this, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come here to me.' And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come to him, saying, 'Your name shall be Israel.' Now with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them," this is confidence right here, "fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." Now let's just stop right there. He's building an altar that needs to be burnt. And confident Elijah is like, I'm going to show all of you how to start a fire. The rest of us have lighter fluid in our back pocket because we want to make sure that when we start fires, we actually start them instead of having more guilt of inadequacies built upon our manhood, right? But not Elijah. He doesn't have lighter fluid in the back pocket. He's got jugs of water. He's like, yes. And then in verse 34, he says this, "Do it again." he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. In verse 35, and the water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Now look at this. And then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. That, my friends, is a fire, right? Not just the bull, not just the wood that was wet. Okay, that's impressive. Stones, yeah, but that could be kind of like coals, heated stones. It burnt up the dirt. You know it is a big fire when dirt is burning and then it licks up all of the water in the trench. Verse 39, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, for most of us, that would be enough. That would be the God encounter, the close encounter of all encounters. But what I want to show you in this story is that Elijah didn't just have one major close encounter with God. He had three back to back to back. You see, in the midst of all this, there was a huge drought, and it hadn't rained for years, and people were dying of starvation. The crops weren't growing. The cattle were dying. And so the very next moment, we see a second miracle, even more important than fire falling from heaven. We see the water, and it says this in verse 45. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Ahab is the king, and he's there to see who's going to win this fight and what's going to happen. And he has just seen fire fall and God be proclaimed. And now he's seen rain come, and it's falling, this heavy rain. And King Ahab, in his chariot with all of his horses, all of the best the kingdom had to offer, he begins to race off in the rain to Jezreel. But then a third miracle happens. This is my favorite miracle of them all. This is the miracle where we see in verse 46, the power of the Lord comes on Elijah. Look at this. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. It's not just fire that's fallen from heaven. It's not just rain, but all of a sudden Elijah gets to put on his Forrest Gump magic shoes, right? And he outraces the king and his chariot. Now, anybody 35 and older understands what I'm talking about with Forrest Gump and his magic shoes, right? My mama bought me magic shoes. She told me they'd take me anywhere, right? Come on. From then on, I was running. Yes, running. Yeah. And Elijah, but this is what I love the most about it. The power of the Lord has come upon Elijah. He is about ready to outrace Ahab, but he's like, hold on, wait a minute. Tucks the cloak into his belt. Like, I also want some aerodynamics. I don't want to just run fast. I want to run good. And so he tucks it in, tucks the cloak into his belt, and then races ahead all the way to Jezreel. Three miracles in just one chapter. This is amazing. These are close encounters. These are the biblical, grandiose encounters that we think, if only I could have an encounter like that. The reason why we're sharing this story today isn't to point out these three encounters as much as to point out what happens next. Because in the midst of all of this incredible, beyond belief miracles, what happens next is what really should matter most to you and to me. Because in the very next moment, we see a sudden turn of events. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it says this, now Ahab told Jezreel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Verse 2, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Now, This shouldn't be a big deal. Elijah had seen fire fall, he'd seen rain fall, and he got magic shoes, right? Like, this was a threat from just another person, except what we see in verse 3. His response, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. I think we can understand, looking at this text, that Elijah wasn't just running for his life. Elijah was running from his life. Even though he had seen God move in the past, he wasn't ready for what had happened in his present. He was blindsided by this threat, and he ran from the very calling that God had on his life. He ran for his life. He ran from his life. And I think we can identify with this so much, that even though God may have moved in our past, even most recently, we can see God do something, and then we wake up the next day, the next year, the next decade, and we can realize I'm not where I used to be. And the reason why is because in our spiritual journey, drift can lead to distance, and distance can lead to disconnection. And all of a sudden we wake up, even though God's moved in the past, and we find ourselves far from God. For Elijah, the last victory did not leave him with the strength for today's battle. And I think we know this in our everyday life, that what you have done isn't necessarily preparing you or has prepared you for what is current day. I know this because I recently picked up running again. Now, if you've known me for a little while, you might know that I used to run marathons. Key phrase, used to, right? I've ran 9 marathons. I've got 9 medals. My girls wear them all around, and I'm like, no, you really shouldn't wear dad's medals. It's incredible. But it's been a while. But I've ran 9, and I kind of have this like thing about me. I don't know if it's OCD or what, but I've just got to get to double digits. And so I realized that this was my time. And even though I hadn't ran in forever, I'm like, hey, I should just start running again, see what I've got in the tank. And so a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, now I office out here out of Willamette, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go for a run after work. And I had seen that trail right past the middle school down Stafford Road, emphasis down. And I was like, hey, I'm going to run Stafford Road over to Oswego Hills, and it's just going to be this great run. And people are like, Brian, you know that's pretty steep. Like, you're going to have a run back up. I'm like, 4 miles. I have ran marathons. That's 26.2 miles. And yes, the 0.2 does matter. I can run 4 miles, and no joke, I got my gear on. I ran a little lap around the parking lot. No big deal. I'm running around the middle school. I hit the pass. So many of you have driven past this, down this road before, and I'm running down. No big deal. I'm back. Brian is back. You know, I'm just feeling a little confident. I've got my little music. I got a little Andy Mineo hip hop going, and I'm just kind of feeling it, even though I'm 43 and can't dance. I'm just feeling it, but I'm feeling it while I run downhill. And so many of you that have driven down that road know, and my pace picks up, and then I begin to realize what goes down must come up. Again, I'm thinking, but it's only 4 miles. I've ran in the past. I should be good to go. And I turn around down there right at the base of the hill, and I begin to run up, and it does not take long in the midst of the 4 o'clock in the afternoon where the sun hits, and all of a sudden I realize I don't have anything in the tank, and I'm going, I've got to make this, and I'm trying, and some guy just comes blazing past me, and I'm like, hey man, how's it going, you know? And I'm thinking, he's probably just started. I've been running for a while, 2 miles, right? And so I'm just thinking this, and then I got to the point where all my pride is gone, and I have to walk up the hill. And right as I start walking, one of you, and I don't know who it is, honks and is like, hey, Pastor Brian. And I'm like, yeah. And then I try to run again. I'm like, no, I know too many people now. I'm no longer the new kid. And so I'm trying. So I would walk strategically, right? No cars, walk. See a car come over the hill? No problem, right? But we know this. Come on. You know this about your own life, that the marathons of the past are not meant to be the fuel for the run needed for today. And the God encounters of the past that Elijah had, even though they were amazing, even though they were meaningful, even though they marked Elijah, it was not meant to carry him into the present day, because the reality is that close encounters are meant to be experienced in the present more than they're meant to be remembered from the past. And as soon as we let go of close encounters in our present and begin only remembering the close encounters of the past, we will find ourselves drifting, disconnected, and distanced from the very God that wants a daily relationship with us. And that, my friends, is where we find Elijah. He's saying, I'm running for my life. And sometimes I wake up and I don't need to run off to a desert to find myself distant. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. Where you wake up and you didn't travel anywhere, but you are far from God. And you're like, how did I get here? Well, what happened that I found myself running? And we may not find ourselves in a physical desert, but all of a sudden we begin just feeling more and more disconnected. Watch this. And we begin to assume it's the new normal. Well, that's for teenagers. Well, that's for, you know, young married couples. They get back in church. They want their kids to be in church. That's good for them. But I'm just, and we begin to experience a new normal that God never intended for our lives. And here is where we find Elijah. It says this, beginning in verse 4. He came to a broom bush. More on that in just a second. Sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. He's saying, here's where I'm at. I failed. I've seen you in the past, but I buckled under pressure. I'm no better than my ancestors. I guess, watch this. I guess I am just like my dad. I guess it does just run in the family. I guess this is just kind of who we become as we age. And he's like, I'm done. I might as well retire. I might as well just go take my life. He's at the end of his rope, gets to this desert, and he decides to put up camp at a broom bush. Can I just show you a picture of a broom bush? Check this out. This is a broom bush. Come on. You are not having a good day when you see that and you're like, let's camp there. Right? You're like, of all the places, right? He found a broom bush, sat down under it, and said, it's over. You are having a bad day. Listen, I'm not into camping. If you are, that's wonderful. I think that's awesome. My family and I, we did that for a while. We just didn't want to pay a lot of money to be dirty all the time. Like that just doesn't seem like a good trade-off. And then, you know, you got kids with diapers and they're just already always dirty. I'm just not okay with it. But if you are, that's fine. But my guess is you're not like, oh, a broom bush. Yes. Score on that one, right? And Elijah, though, he doesn't care, because watch, he's at the end of his rope. He stopped caring about things that people normally care about when they're not so disconnected, but he doesn't care anymore. And he's at the end of his rope. He's ran from his life. He's ran for his life, even though he has seen God do miracles in the past. Listen, friends, your greatest danger is believing the lie that you've run too far and that you've made too many mistakes to be close to God again. Elijah, I don't know how. I mean, fire from heaven, rain from heaven, magic shoes. I don't know how, but we all know that it's possible because we wake up distanced. Something happened where we listened to the lie that distanced us, that said, I guess this is how it is. But this is the good news. This is why Close Encounters is awesome. This is why we love to gather together and tell people that there is hope for everybody. Because no matter how many times you have dropped the foul ball, and no matter how many times you feel like you are just following in the footsteps of your ancestors, God will show up on the scene and he has a different option than your option to simply disconnect. And it says this, all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Verse 6, he looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and then lay down again. Elijah's hiding out in the desert behind this little broom bush, about to die, and it says, I'm done. And God shows up, not with fire from heaven, not with rain saturating the land. God shows up to a dehydrated, malnourished Elijah and gives him exactly what he needs. Some bread and some water. I think so many of us want to over-spiritualize close encounters, that we're asking God to do some kind of writing in the sky, some kind of, God, if you would only do this, I would know and I would be faithful and I could do what you're calling me to do. I'm asking, and we have this idea that if we're going to experience God in a miraculous way, it needs to be fire from heaven. But God shows up and goes, you don't need fire from heaven. You need some bread and you need some water. Elijah, you just ran into the desert. You need to carb up a little bit, bro. You need some bread. You are dehydrated. You're not thinking straight. I'm gonna give you some water. I'm gonna help you get what you need right here, right now, in order for you to flourish and continue on the journey. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. The angel shows up to Elijah, who has decided that he can't do it, that he's run from all that God has called him to. He's ran away from the life, from the family, from everyone that God has called him to. And the angel shows up and goes, the journey is too much for you. He's saying, I get it, Elijah. You feel inadequate. You feel like you weren't equipped for these kinds of threats from Jezebel. It's a different kind of pain than the pain that you experienced in the past. You weren't ready for it. I get it. You feel overwhelmed. There's high anxiety. You are right in saying the journey is too much for you, but you don't need to run in shame. I have a different option for you. Am I the only one that it just takes about 5 minutes of thinking for me to get really close to the edge when it comes to fear and anxiety? I mean, you just talk to me about the future of my girls and the possibilities and the hardness of this world and them aging and education and how they're gonna make it, and I begin to feel so inadequate as a dad. I see other people putting their kids through all these systems that I don't understand or do, and I just begin to go, I don't know if I have what it takes. Maybe it's not kids for you. Maybe it's, I don't know if I'm ever going to find the right person. The more you think about it, the anxiety just rises. Maybe you don't know what you're going to do for retirement or whatever it is. Maybe someone is sick in your family and the anxiety is just welling up, and all you know to do is to detach. But the problem is when we detach, we're not just detaching from God, we're detaching from the very people he wants us to be close to. And so rather than running to our desert, be it a Netflix binge or self-medication or whatever it is for you to just try to ignore the reality, God shows up and goes, I've got some bread for you. I've got some water. It's not very sexy. It's not fire from heaven, but it's exactly what you need. But the journey is too much for you. Take what I have and it will be exactly what you need. I don't know about you, but I think fire from heaven and all that stuff is great. I hope that all of us will have some kind of encounter with God in our life that really marks us. But more than that one time back in the 80s or 2010 or whatever it is when you went to camp last week, whatever that is that's wonderful, my prayer is that we would be hungry for the bread and the water that God is offering to us right where we're at. Verse 8, so he got up and ate. and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. See, God showed up with the bread and the water, but Elijah had to choose to eat it. He had to choose to say, God, I get it. I found myself. It may not be fire from heaven, but it's what you have for me today. And today I'm gonna take it. And he experienced what God had hoped for him, the ability to continue his life down the path God had arranged for his life. And he arrives at Oreb, the mountain of God, but God's not done with him yet. Because what we're about to find out is that what God wants to do in you, he wants to do through you. He doesn't want to just revive you for your own sake, although he loves you so much, he would do it just for you. It's just that he loves so many other people too. He wants to revive you so you can experience your life and also allow it to influence and impact the very people that God's put around you. We see in verse 11, at this mountain of God, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Look at this next part. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God's saying, you don't need what you used to have. You just need what I want to give you today. In the midst of all of these other things, God shows up with some bread, some water, and a whisper. You see, friends, this summer may not be one for the ages for you. You may not look back at the summer of 2019 and go, you guys, or maybe as you age, which apparently I went on vacation last week, I came back and all of you looked incredibly older on Facebook, freaked me out, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, just don't give the Russians all of your pictures, okay? The face app, okay? But you may get older, and you may not be able to say, son, the summer of 2019 was the 50th year that the man walked on the moon, and it was the same year that your granddad walked with God. You may not be able to say that. It may not be one for the ages, but here's the good news. It doesn't need to be. You don't have to have a fire fall from heaven experience or a summer where it was this marking for the rest of your life. God wants to show up and show you that all you need is the bread and the water and the whisper that he has for your day. And he says, when Elijah heard it and pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Saying, I want to just talk to you. I don't want to show you an earthquake. I want to show you a whisper, because I would rather have a relationship talking to you than these signs and wonders that keep me distanced from you. I think it's natural for us to want thunder in our lives. We all want a story to tell. But some of the best encounters that we see are not the thunder encounters, but the bread, the water, and the whisper. And I think Elijah is looking at God in this moment, trying to figure things out. And I think he's saying, I don't know how I got here, but I no longer want to stay here. I need to know what to do next. And in verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. Go back the way you came. You know how you drifted? You know how you ran? Go back to what you already know. Go back to Damascus. And it says this, when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. God is saying, Elijah, I still have plans for you. And the more disconnected you are from me, the more you're missing out on influencing the people that I have created you to be around. Can I just speak to moms and dads in this room? that as much as I so desperately want you to encounter God for yourself, it's going to have ripple ramifications on your kids, whether or not you choose the bread and the water and the whisper that he has for us. And to all of you who get up and go to work in the morning and you have coworkers, as much as I want you to experience the goodness of God in your life and the refreshment of the water and the whisper, the coworkers around you need to experience somebody that has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. God's saying, I still have plans for you. If you're not dead, you're not done. Go back the way you came and begin to fulfill the calling on your life. You might be saying, Brian, this is what I need. This is what I want. But what does that look like in 2019? What is bread and water and whispers? What does that look like for somebody that's just trying to get to work on time and getting his kids to bed and trying to find childcare because they're not in school? And what kind of VBS can we dump them off at until we can get them to pick them up? Oh, is that just me? Okay. But what does that look like today? This is a story from the Old Testament when God spoke primarily through prophets and priests and sometimes kings. But you see, as we get to the New Testament, Jesus would begin explaining the old and showing people the new. And in John chapter 6, Jesus was speaking to people that knew these stories. And it says this, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Saying, Brian, what does it look like in 2019 in the summer to experience the bread and the water and the whisper? It's through Jesus and only Jesus. He is our life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything that we need, not a spiritual journey, not 5 days separated from all mankind so that we can have a meditative experience to get closer to our inner selves. No, we need Jesus and only Jesus. And the good news is that if you call on his name, he will be there. Friends, it's what you may already know. Go back the way that you came. You need more of Jesus. And some of you, you've come all the way to church, but you haven't come all the way to him. And you have this idea of who God is, and you're trying to do the right things, and you're trying to do the right things for your kids. But you can't self-help your way through the desert. There is something that only Jesus can do through the forgiveness of sins, to remove that burden that is too heavy for you to bear. But this is also for those of us who already believe. Because the disciples believed, and they were blindsided, weren't they? And what did they do? They ran. They already believed, but they ran. They weren't ready for the blindside. And maybe you're here, and you already believe, but you're like, Brian, I just wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for this to happen at work. And can we just admit, in this world, blindsides happen all the time. I was blindsided this morning. Something I was not ready to hear or expecting, just coming back from vacation. And we either know what it's like to daily encounter God with the bread and the water and the whisper of Jesus, or we will find ourselves distanced from him. And so you can't manufacture an encounter with God, but you can anticipate it. You can prepare for it. You can understand to get back to what you know. And so the question is, what is the bread? What is the water? What is the whisper in your life that you need to embrace today? What does God have for you that it's just a question of whether or not you'll take it, whether or not you'll eat it? It's already being offered to you. For some of you, it's just this gathering on Sunday mornings. And God's saying, listen, this is like an anchor in a windy, high wave world. It's like an anchor. And rather than just coming sporadically or whenever your calendar kind of opens up for making this gathering together, this is the water, this is this idea of saying, God, I'm going to position myself for you to speak to me. Because the reality is, how can you know unless you hear? And the more that we position ourselves to hear the voice of God, the better. Some of you are regular attenders on Sunday mornings, but instead of going from week to try to get you through, God's saying, I want you to do that. It's like an anchor, but I want to show you what it's like to go from week to day to day. What would it mean for you to slow down long enough to hear the whisper of God in your life daily? Maybe it's just turning off the radio on your commute, turning on some of these worship songs that we're singing, maybe just putting your car in park and saying, I'm not going to move until God, I give you my life. I ask you to nourish me for the day. Jesus, be my nourishment. Be the water that I need. Show me how to have eyes like you have eyes to see the way you want me to see. For others of you, it needs to go from this individual journey to a group journey. God sent Elijah back to people. You were never meant to walk this path alone. Rick Warren said, our faith should be deeply personal, but it should never be private. And as we aim for the fall, as we prepare for groups, home communities, men's community, women's community, as we prepare for Rooted, for some of you, it's time to just allow God to speak to you through people and to root yourself, to ground yourself in groups. Some of you need mending the soul because what happened to you in the past is not fire from heaven and water replenishing the ground. It's pain and tragedy that is still affecting you. Because the reality is we know this, that if your past is affecting your present, it's not your past. It's still affecting you here today. And perhaps you could say, I'm going to grow closer to God by allowing God to mend my soul. At the very least, I want to send all of you out today with a Kickstarter prayer. My hope is that you'll put this in your pocket, put it in your wallet, put it on the dashboard of your car, put it on your mirror, and that you would use this to maybe not end with this period, but allow it to stir some other thoughts. And it says this, Jesus, thank you for wanting a close encounter with me and for being the nourishment I need for my soul. I choose today to be refreshed by you. And it's my prayer and my hope that as we lean into who God is and what he wants for our life, that we will meet him right where he wants to meet us. Some bread, some water, and perhaps a whisper.